Welcome to Homer Back, the official podcast of Streaking the Lawn. My name is Pierce. Once again, I'm joined by Matt. Say hello, Matt.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I'm doing great. And we're also joined by Brian.
What's up, everybody?
And we've got a very, very special guest tonight. UVA's Joe Harris is in the house. Joe, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
We're happy you're here. We're here to hear your thoughts on certainly, you know, it's not basketball season yet, but it's only a couple months away, and maybe chat a little bit about football. But most importantly, we've got you on to share a cause that we've got that you've got going on, and some fundraising, and hopefully getting the word out there. If you want to jump right in and tell us what you're working with the givenaked.org website.
Yeah, for sure. Most people kind of saw in the news over the past month, and even now it's going on pretty badly in Northern California, just all the wildfires that have kind of swept across the western part of the United States. You know, the state of Washington was hit pretty bad, and in particular, my hometown where I grew up in North Central Washington, really small community, Lake Chelan. Unfortunately, 40, 50 homes burnt down, a lot of the agriculture, a lot of businesses, and just a lot of the overall damage to the area. Again, not only my hometown, but a majority of Washington State and the North Central Washington area was pretty badly affected. And, I kind of teamed up with this relief fund and charity outlet from my hometown, Chelan Valley Hope. They have a site, givenaked.org, and the charity is Give Naked, and they're 100% dedicated to giving all the proceeds to the victims of the fire. And I think they've already raised over $160,000, and they're just trying to do their part to really help out everybody that was affected. The town that I grew up in is really small. Most of the economy thrives on tourism and agriculture. And when those two are not prevalent, it makes things pretty tough for people. And unfortunately, after having the fire at the, kind of peak season of tourism and burning down the majority of the agriculture, kind of hit my town pretty hard. So, just trying to do what we can to help raise the money and, put people in a good spot, once the winter months come around, so they can kind of just recuperate and try and rebuild and get back on their feet a little bit. So, I think you mentioned earlier the site is givenaked.org. Any donation, it helps out and goes a long way. And, just really trying to spread the word and help raise awareness and, just awareness in general of, firestorms and the wildfires that are negatively affecting, a large part of the western part of the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't turn on any of the national news all month long without hearing about the devastation over there, for sure. So I know there are people out there who are going to want to help from all over the country, but certainly us here at Oahu Nation can chip in. If you're listening to this via the player that's on the blog, we've got the link right there. But if you're listening to it via podcast or your cell phone or whatnot, you can just go to givenaked.org, and Joe's specific fund is the first hit right there. So it's on the homepage of givenaked.org. And certainly if everybody who clicked on the sad UVA fan article we had today and gave $5, he would more than meet his goal. So I know there are a lot of y'all out there that can help us. And obviously, just like any other fundraising, a dollar here, $5 there, totally can make a huge difference for a community that really needs it, for sure. And if you need, to get the word out, let us know, Joe. We're happy to help, for sure. But for those who are listening right now, just click the link and give what you can, and we can help out a good community there. And there are a lot of details on the site about the specific rebuilding needs that are going on, and you can find out more all there. And again, it's givenaked.org. But why don't we talk a little bit about what you've been up to, Joe? I know NBA Finals, appearance in your first year. That's got to be pretty amazing. And I'd just really like to hear about that transition from the college game to the NBA and what your daily life's like. And I mean, especially having to move in between the Canton team and back to Cleveland and the roster.
Oh yeah.
And all that. What's the life been like since you left Charlottesville?
I mean, it's been wild. I've loved every minute of it. You know, I really enjoy living in Cleveland, and just really fortunate to be, kind of in the position and with the organization that I'm with. It's a real experience having the season that we had, and being able to practice and play and see some of the best players in the world on a daily basis, and then for us to go as far as we did, to have that experience of playing in the NBA Finals, even playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, that's something that not a lot of guys can ever say that they've done. And to have that in my rookie campaign was unbelievable. It was just a surreal experience, but all in all, it was just it's a lot of fun. Being able to play ball for your job is pretty ridiculous. It's amazing that you get paid to do something that you love to do, and I'm just really fortunate to be in the position that I'm in, and I'm trying to take it all up as much as I can, soak it all in, and try and make the most of the opportunity that I have.
Good stuff.
Hey Joe, it's Matt. It seemed like you were in a pretty unique experience for the first year, because you're on a team that is really veteran heavy, with guys from LeBron to Kevin Love, Richard Jefferson, all of those guys who have a lot of experience in the league. How did you find that to be helpful during the rookie year and helping you to acclimate to the league?
Or super intimidating.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
What was that?
Or super intimidating, right? Either way, helpful or intimidating.
Oh yeah. I mean, for a lot of people going to, in my position, you definitely think that it would be intimidating, but I tried to kind of alter my perspective on it. I looked at it more as a good opportunity to just kind of compete against guys that were better than me, and just really trying to improve, but also learning as much as I could too. I mean, there's these guys, like you said earlier, veteran heavy team, guys that had been around in the NBA for a long time, 10 plus seasons, and have had a lot of success in their time in the NBA. So I was just trying to learn and pick these guys' brains as much as possible. And if anything, I think the fact that I was on the team like this, where maybe I didn't get to play as much, but I had the experience of getting to learn from some of the best players in the league, and guys that even guys like James Jones and Mike Miller, who maybe didn't play necessarily as much on our team, but have played 12, 13, 14 years in the NBA, to be able to learn from them and just like have them at your disposal, was really beneficial. And that's not to take anything away from some younger teams in the NBA where maybe I might've had an opportunity to play a little bit more, but, I think I was in the best possible position for me just to, really try and, get my feet under me and figure everything out about the NBA lifestyle and, what I needed to do, trying to be as inquisitive as I could and learn as much in my first year as possible with, in the back of my mind, I kind of, realized that, my opportunity to play was probably not going to be there in this year. So I used it more as an opportunity just to try and learn and try and improve as much as I could so I can be ready for the years to come.
Is it beneficial to, I know no one obviously would ever want to be sent to, the D League, but is it beneficial to have those spurts where you are getting a ton of playing time in the middle of this season going on and headed towards the playoffs and being able to, learn and absorb because you're not getting the playing time with the starters in the NBA as much as you would like, but then being able to put that, what you're learning up there into practice and jump it back and forth? Or is it just a complete pain in the ass to have to go back down and move around?
Yeah, I mean, the D League kind of has a little bit of a negative connotation. And, I think, when they initially told me that, they wanted me to go down and get some time in the D League, I was, I was upset and I was a little ticked off. But that's also because, that was just my initial reaction to it. I just I didn't really know that much about it, and I kind of just assume what everybody else thinks about it, that it's just, you know, there's not a very good, a lot of positive things that have been said about the D-League. But when I got down there and started playing with them and started going back and forth and getting the opportunity to really play and, you know, even learn a little bit more, the Cavs do a great job of using their D-League affiliate as more, it's like they use it like almost like a triple-A baseball team for like a major, for a major league team. And that's what the D-League is trying to become. Like, it has a lot of potential to be the best, you know, or it should be, in my opinion, it should be the best, you know, minor league system in professional sports. I mean, it has the platform and the potential to do so, but just, they just don't really have, you know, the resources or the backing power right now. But I think more and more teams are starting to get their own affiliates like Cleveland has. And, you know, the management, the guys that are in the front office with the Cavs, they work hand in hand with people that do day-to-day stuff with the Canton team. So they're always on the same page. So when I go down and I play with Canton, they would have me doing all the same stuff that we do with the Cavs. So they ran all the same plays, did all the defensive schemes. They try to do everything as similar as possible. So it's a seamless transition when you go back and forth. And to be honest, me going down there was great. I was a little bit negative and maybe a little pissed off about it at first, but when I got down there and I started playing, I loved it. I would have been all for just, you know, even staying down there and playing every game through the rest of the season with them if I had my choice. It was it was just a good opportunity to really play. I mean, it's hard to simulate in an individual workout with the Cavs skill development guys what you can get from playing 30 minutes in the game. Like, I just couldn't get that in my individual work with the Cavs. So for me, I mean, I still got the best of both worlds. Like, I would practice with the Cavs in the morning, and then I would go play with Ken in the evening. So I had a little bit different situation than some guys that play, go back and forth in the D-League. I know, like, Miami, the Heat, their D-League team is in South Dakota. So it's like, if you got sent to D-League, like, you're getting shipped off to South Dakota. They're probably not coming back for who knows how long. So my situation is pretty good, where Canton is pretty convenient in terms of the location. I mean, it's a 40-minute drive. It's like a practice in the morning with the Cavs, go play with Canton in the evening, and vice versa. And I really enjoy doing it. It was really good in terms of just like for my development as a player. And I think going forward, I'm going to be really thankful for, you know, the time that I spent there.
Sure.
That's really cool. You know, Justin Anderson, you know, got drafted last year. He's going through a lot of what you did just the previous year. And, you know, who knows whether he'll end up playing the D-League a little bit or if he'll be with the Mavs the whole time. But, you know, have you gotten a chance to reach out to him? You know, have you guys connected at all? Are you working with him at all to help him with his transition? Or you let him know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, Justin is one of my closest friends just from our time at UVA together. And, you know, when he decided, you know, even when he was in the process of contemplating whether or not he should go, you know, into the draft or stay, you know, I tried to be as helpful with him as possible. And then even when he decided to go and he got drafted, I met up with him, you know, quite a bit when we were out at Summer League. I tried to watch his game and just, like, you know, chat with him and hang out with him. And then even now, you know, if I feel like I'm, you know, I'll think about something, you know, during one of my workouts or during the day, you know, whether I'm in the weight room doing whatever, and I'll be like, hey, you know, this might have helped me a lot. You know, my first year, like, thinking back on it, I'll shoot Justin a message. I'll be like, hey, man, like, I was thinking about this. I think it could be helpful for you going forward. Mm-hmm. Like, take it for what it's worth. But, like, I just, like, I really want Justin to do well. Like, I he's one of my closest friends. Like, I love the dude, and I want to see him have success. So, you know, whatever I thought that might have helped me in my first year, I tried to just pass it on to him and then just kind of keep tabs with him. Like, I was going to try and work it out where I could go to a game in one of the football games in Charlottesville around the same time that he was there. I know that he was there this past weekend for the Notre Dame game, but I didn't end up getting to make it, unfortunately. But, you know, I know I'll meet up with him during the season, obviously, when we play in Dallas and when he comes up and plays in Cleveland.
Are you going to have any tips for him in terms of any of the general rookie antics. Like I know, you walked around with a book bag all year long. Got punked by LeBron a couple times. Any tips for him?
Yeah, I mean, I think from what I've heard is like he comes or he's gone into a pretty good situation as well. He's got some good veteran guys. I'm sure they're gonna mess with him a little bit, but as long as he just as long as well, one of the quotes that actually that sticks out in my mind, or actually there's two. Mike Miller and James Jones told me at the very beginning of the season, they said, he said, it's better to keep your mouth shut than to get your ass whooped. And then they told me, they say, and then the other one they said, he said, don't take it personal, just take it with you. So those are the two ones that I kind of base whenever they tried to give me some slack or like made me do stuff, I just try to do whatever they're asking me to do. So I didn't, end up, having like, something severe out of me. I mean, because in all actuality, like these guys, they have, a lot of money and a lot of time on their hands. So like whatever they could think of, they could probably do to you, in terms of like hazing and stuff like that.
That's really funny.
Well, I think that's good life advice, even just keep your mouth shut. It sounded to me earlier like I think we can put the reason Justin Anderson left early on Joe Harris. I think you were owning up to it, pushing.
Hey
How dare
man, I did
you?
not say anything about that, man. I mean, I'm still as you know what? I'm probably as diehard as they come now in terms of being just a fan of the basketball team. So I was actually in the back of my mind, I was hoping for him to stay just because, I want to see the Hoos go all the way and win it all. I thought they probably had a good shot with him, but I still think they have a good shot even without him.
I agree.
You guys heard
When
it
you're
here
in the middle
first.
of a
Joe Harris thinks it was a terrible mistake for him to go early. You guys heard it here first.
Either way, we're gonna twist it.
Yeah, I can't really win in that situation.
No,
I
you're
probably should
good.
just kept my mouth. That's one of those situations where you just keep your mouth shut.
Joe, when you're in the middle of a season and 82 game season, going back and forth between Canton and Cleveland and constantly on the road, are you able to catch many of the UVA games? Do you record them? Are you in touch with any of the players or the coaching staff during, or is it just too much of a grind to really stay up on things?
Yeah, that's actually probably one of the most unfortunate things about the NBA season and just kind of the lifestyle in general is that you don't really have that much time to sit down and watch a lot of the games. Like college basketball, it's hard to keep up with the games. I mean, obviously, like I would record them and watch the game tracker and do stuff like that when I could, but I probably only caught. I think I only ended up watching maybe like five or six games the whole season, which is like really sad for me. But it's just like, that's just the way that it is. It's tough to watch the games with like as much as you're traveling and how many games that you're playing a week and everything that else that you're trying to focus on. But I do keep tabs like with the guys. I mean, all the like I said, like Justin, obviously was one of my closest friends with Ben and everybody else on the team. I mean, we just had really the chemistry and camaraderie while I was there was as good as any team I've ever been a part of, high school, youth, whatever it might be. I mean, everybody was really close. So I still keep in touch with all those guys, even now, and even the coaches, I constantly chat with all of them, giving them calls, every week or two. So, I'm not completely left out of the loop. I might not be able to watch all the games, but I still stay in touch with all the guys.
Cool. Did you get to come back to Charlottesville this summer at all?
Yeah, I did actually, which is awesome. I came back in the beginning of August, and I was down in Charlottesville for I worked out for 2 weeks there, which was awesome. It was really great. I'm definitely gonna try and do the same thing next year as well. I mean, just like everything
Cool.
that they have going on there. I mean, they do it the right way, and their summer, their off-season workouts are great. And I had a good time when I was out there as well. It's nice, just like. Again, just like to catch up with everybody in person, sit down with whoever, go out to dinner with the guys, with the coaches, and then obviously the basketball and court work is really good as well.
Any surprises we should be looking for this upcoming season? Any secrets you saw in the surprise
Man,
players,
I
breakout
think
stars?
I don't know. Nothing like out of the ordinary. I mean, obviously, I think, you know, guys know what to expect with, like, Malcolm is going to be, you know, who Malcolm is. Mm-hmm. He's just solid. He's a stud. AG, Anthony is going to be great. I think Toby has really improved a lot. I'm expecting Toby to have a good year. You know, his body looks good. He's really been focused and working hard. Same with Evan. I mean, the thing with Coach Bennett's teams, I think, you know, they just get better, you know, as the years progress. You know, the more years you have under your belt, I think the more experienced teams that Coach Bennett has, the better that they're going to be, just because they know, you know, they know his system, they know how he wants to play. They, everybody's got a good grasp on it. You got a guy like London that's been, he's going to lead the team for a third consecutive year. You know, having him as one of the leaders of the team and the point guard kind of running the show is huge. I think he's due for, you know, obviously he had two great seasons, but I think he's even going to take a step up this coming year. And then, you know, I expect they guys got a lot of depth too. I mean, I expect guys like Kevin Hall and, you know, Mariel looked good. Isaiah Wilkins. I mean, even Jack Stahl, you know, all those guys, they look good while they're there. I mean, they, you know, there's a saying that iron sharpens iron, and I think that's like the kind of epitome of this year's team. You know, they guys are getting after each other and really competitive. Well, even while I was there, which was the tail end of summer, you know, it's usually when kind of guys kind of start to taper off a little bit because they get a chance to go home. But while I was there, everybody was competing and, you know, making each other better and really getting after it. So I think that's a good sign. It's good to see. Yeah. But I think, you know, they're just going to be real, real solid across the board.
Good stuff. I know there's you probably missed like one starter who's now going to be mad at you for not name dropping them and players that are going to be improved. I don't know how much you get to follow it, but have you seen the rankings of the recruiting class Tony has coming in for next year? He's got one guy, Jared Reuter, who's coming in this year, so he's already on grounds. But next year they've got one of the best in terms of rankings classes in the country, Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome. Just got a commitment from a guy named DeAndre Hunter, who plays in Pennsylvania, and Jay Huff out of Durham.
Yeah, no, I mean, I stuff's a little bit hard to keep track of as well, but I know, you know, just with my time being in Charlottesville and listening to Coach Bennett and some of the coaches talk about, you know, the different guys they have coming in and, you know, they're really excited. You know, it's definitely probably the most talented recruiting class that he's ever gotten. So I think that's exciting. I think that's definitely exciting for all the fans in Charlottesville as well. I mean, shoot, rightfully so. You know, you see the fact that they got a number one recruiting class. I don't think that anybody, you know, in their right mind would have thought that, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago that Virginia would be pulling out the number one ranked recruiting class. So it's pretty sweet to see that the program has kind of got to that level and that, you know, coach is bringing in these top recruits. So I'm assuming that they're also great kids as well that are going to represent the community in the right way and, you know, go about representing themselves as student athletes in the right way as well. So I think it's exciting and it's definitely a good time to be a Virginia basketball fan.
For sure. I think I saw a headline the other day on ESPN. It said UVA starting to recruit with the big boys. And it makes sense. I mean, you win some championships, people are going to, you know, hear about UVA on the national stage. That's going to attract the blue chip guys. I'd be curious to hear a little bit about, you know, when Tony goes out and recruits. Obviously, it was a bit of a different situation when he was bringing you across the country. But what does he go with in terms of selling the program? I mean, we hear about, you know, the pillars and putting the team in front of yourself and obviously defense and whatnot. But is there anything that maybe sticks out specifically about Tony Bennett in his recruiting pitch that's bringing, you know, these high character, highly ranked guys in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, thinking back to it, I think just the fact that like, Coach Bennett he's real, like he's a real and genuine person. You know, what he comes and presents himself as is what he is. And like, I mean, if you get Coach Bennett into your living room and he sits down with you and your mom and dad, are going to be the ones that are pushing you to go there after you sit down with him. And that's just the type of person that he is. He's just as good as it gets. And I think, you know, where he stands, you know, what his program stands for when you talk to him. And, you know, even the fact that, you know that you've got an opportunity to go in there, you get a great education, and then he's really going to help you become a better basketball player, but even more importantly, a better person. But I think the fact that he, you know, kind of gradually started to put some guys into the NBA, is probably, you know, it makes it enticing for younger kids as well, too. I mean, there's a reason why a lot of guys want to go to Kentucky, and Kentucky always gets these top recruiting classes. I mean, Rich Calipari has got like an NBA factory over there. He's just pumping these kids, you know, it's like it's nothing. And like, but that's kind of, that's a really enticing thing for these young kids in the AAU scene is, you know, they, and when they see that they're winning, but then they're also, you know, starting to put guys into the NBA. I mean, that's the ultimate goal for most of these kids when they get to school. But then you factor in a lot of the other stuff, and you got the complete package when it comes to Virginia and when it comes to Coach Bennett and the rest of his coaching staff and everything that they kind of preach have at their disposal at UVA. It's kind of hard. I mean, in my opinion, it'd be hard for anybody to really ever turn it down.
I'm sold. I'm ready to commit right now. Tony, sign me up. I got one question about Coach Bennett, though. I want to know, if you don't mind sharing, what's the meanest curse word you've heard Coach Bennett say? I got to put you on the spot. Feel free to edit it, but, you know.
You know, to be honest, he doesn't, I mean, he didn't really ever cuss very much in my career. And if he ever did, he would actually, he'd apologize about it. Like, the way that he does it, it's not like he's, like, coming across as, like, oh, he's like a softer, like you just like getting Coach Bennett mad is the last thing that you ever want to do. It's just like not a pleasant scene at all. And like when you get fired up, I mean, occasionally he's gonna come at you and call you something that you don't want to be called. And but usually most times he'll take you aside and be like, hey, I was a little fired up, emotional there. My emotions have the best to be. Forgive me for what I said. And you're like forget. We're moving on. And we're getting ready to go.
Coach, I'm a basketball player. I'm used to getting yelled at. It's okay.
This is the classic.
Don't get me wrong, man. It doesn't mean that he's, you know, just like, you know, Mr. Cake and lollipop in practice.
No. I mean, we hear him from the sidelines. Yeah. When he's yelling at Carl Hess, you can tell.
I mean, that's another thing. The officials might have something else to say, something different to say than what I say, but.
Right.
but don't get me wrong, man. He's good. He's really good in that way, though. Like, there's not a lot of coaches that can find that balance between, you know, really getting on guys and then, you know, also, you know, making it, like, there's not one time where you didn't think that Coach Bennett didn't care about you. Like, you knew that he cared about you and cared for you a lot, even when he was, you know, in your face and calling you a pussy and stuff like that, you know. It's just like, it's hard that, like, especially when you're there, by the time you get into your fourth year, you know, Coach Bennett could have called me any name in the book, and I still would have known that the guy really cared for me. I probably would have just shrugged it off and tried to work even harder.
Right. That's awesome.
Hey, Joe, a couple minutes ago you talked about, you know, programs like Kentucky that bring in all those AAU guys and turn into, you know, NBA factories where Calipari is getting five or six guys drafted, it seems like, virtually every year. Obviously, coming from UVA, Coach Bennett's systems, the pack line, something that all of us as fans love, but it's a very deliberate system, a very unique system. What are some of the challenges of that going from that to the NBA, and what are some of the ways that you thought that helped you maybe be a little bit better prepared for the NBA game?
You know, to be honest, I don't think any system that you play in college is going to – there's no, like, prototypical system in college that's going to prepare you for NBA in the right way. And I might be – you know, wrong or maybe biased in saying that just because of the program that I came from. But I don't, to be honest with you, I don't think that there's anything that truly transitions like to the way that the NBA game is played. It's just because there's such huge contrast between the games in general. I mean, just like the fact that the 24-second shot clock, that might not seem like a lot of, like a big time difference between what 35 what it used to be. I mean, I know it's lower now to 30, but still. But that's like a pretty significant amount of time, and the game is just played so much faster. But the thing, to be honest with you, the stuff that Coach Bennett preached and, you know, what we learned in his system, they helped me out a ton transitioning to the NBA. You know, nobody was having to bring me aside and break me, tell me this is how you need to, you know, get over a ball screen, or this is how you should be doing this. Like, I was able to kind of go in, and that was almost like a seamless transition. I mean, there's some other stuff like, there's a lot more, it's a bit more complex than people realize as well, because you're just, the NBA game is all about personnel and matchups as well. So you're kind of scheming, and you have different you know, different schemes and stuff on a game by game basis. But that in itself is challenging for everyone because there's not a lot of college programs where like you're preparing for each team a different way. I think most college teams, the way that they go about it, they have a system, and it's like you, if your system is better than mine, so be it. But like it's a system battle. It's like the coaches are the ones that are going in here laying on the line. Whereas in the NBA, it's like, you know, the reason why the talent, the teams that have like the top tier talented guys are the ones that are able to kind of, you know, carry them a long way, because it really is truly based off personnel in the matchup. But if you have more talent, guys that can make plays, I mean, more likely than not, I mean, you factor that in with a number of other things, obviously, you know, coaching in LSU is very intricate, and you got to have the right type of guys. But you factor that in with just like crazy amounts of talent, and chances are you're going to have some success. Whereas in college, the coaches can kind of manipulate things a little bit more, and most coaches do. Mm-hmm. Even teams like Calipari, where he has a ton of, you know, NBA talented type players, it's still going to be a tough transition for them to the NBA, just because there's nothing truly, the contrast is quite different between the NBA and college game, no matter where you play at. It's just like guys are being evaluated based off potential talent, and some are better. There's an easier transition for some, but for the most part, it's a difficult transition for most people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Joe, I have sort of a completely unrelated question. I think this was your third year when at UVA, when one of our writers, Will Campbell, made a comment about just give it to Joe, hashtag swoon. And that swoon hashtag just really took off third year and especially fourth year. How much of a hard time, you know, did your teammates give you on that, either in college or beyond, you know, in the NBA, if you got any hard time for that? Or, you know, tell us about swoon and how it's affected your life personally.
Yeah, I mean, in college it was definitely much bigger of a deal, but you know, all the guys on the team like to have a lot of fun with it and joke with me about it, and you know, and even with like the nicknames like the Joey Hoops and Joey Buck and stuff like that, everybody like just like messed around with me about that stuff, especially in college. But thankfully, you know, nobody really knew about the swoon stuff in the NBA. Otherwise, I probably would have been hearing about it quite a bit, and they probably would have messaged about it quite a bit. So it's probably good that nobody knew about it, thankfully.
But we'll be working on that. We'll be printing out swoon shirts in Cavs colors.
That's pretty funny. Joe, before we let you go, and we got to talk a little bit. I think earlier you were saying you couldn't make it down, but you did get to catch the Notre Dame football game this past weekend, right?
Oh, man. That was heartbreaking.
I'm depressing
like
news.
Every other UVA fan watching that game, just complete just devastation at the end. And
yeah. What a way. I mean, you know, going in, I think we were pessimistic probably about them being able to hang around. But I was just perfectly surprised and delighted and just so amped that they were doing so well and marching down the field. You thought that Kanan Severn was going to catch anything thrown to him, was, you know, we were going to do it, beat a top 10 team, get that signature win, and then just to lose it. I haven't seen much more tragic ways to lose a football game.
Man, I cannot believe that. It was just and the fact that, you know, it's like their backup quarterback coming in there too, making a play like that. And this dude is like the saving grace for Notre Dame right now. Everybody's like praising him, rightfully so, but at the same time, I just like, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't even, I was exactly like the kid that's hanging over the brick wall at the end of the game. Just couldn't believe
it. Yeah,
I
got more text messages asking if that was me than I would care to admit.
Oh my gosh, man, that was outrageous.
Well, hopefully they'll come back this weekend and get William
and
Mary
to take
care of business.
You know, it's good to be. I think we can be optimistic as fans going forward, just because, I mean, if they can bring that level of play, you know, every weekend, I think they got a good chance to kind of turn things around and get momentum on their side. So, you know, hoping for a big win against William & Mary now. And then, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead, but I know that Boise State game will be a big one too.
Oh, true. I mean, it's not fair. Not fair to overlook William and Mary considering the last time
Yeah,
they came
definitely
to
not.
town.
Yeah, definitely not.
But
By no means am I saying that at all. It's going to be tough meeting, but.
no. Knock on wood, I think we'll take care of it for sure. Do you want to go out on a limb with maybe a season prediction for the football team? Do you see
Well,
maybe just record wise?
I don't want to like sell them short or anything like that at all, but I
Mm-hmm.
think realistically, which actually would, I think it would be a solid season for them too at this point with how we started. I think 7-5, that could be realistic. And I
Yeah.
mean, if it were to happen, I think that'd be a solid year for us. I think that'd be great. And then you get to a bowl, I mean, I
Absolutely.
think that's huge.
No, I think 7-5, everyone would take that as a win, especially if you ask them at the beginning of the season with the way the schedule
Yeah, no
and
question.
coming off the
Yeah,
losing year.
no question.
If they play like they did against Notre Dame, I think they got a great chance to do that. And
Yeah, I
I
think so
think
for sure.
do you think one of those 7 wins will be beating the Hokies for the first time in a long time?
Oh yeah, I mean we're greedy. We're ready for that W.
That's awesome. I agree with you. I'm going to be optimistic too. I do have a quick question about that before we let you go. Again, I'm just going to keep saying that and keep asking you questions all night. But well, I'm curious about the basketball rivalry. Do the guys on the basketball team get amped for the Virginia Tech game in the same way that you would the Duke or Carolina or Maryland game?
Yeah, I think it's definitely pretty exciting. Just looking back in my 4 years, I think the first couple of years were definitely a little bit more exciting because Virginia Tech's program was pretty good. My third and fourth year they were a little bit down, so it kind of tailed off a little bit. The fans still, especially the students, they still are really into it, and that kind of feeds into everybody else. I always really looked forward to going to Blacksburg. It was a fun gym to play in, and it's just a cool atmosphere having like their student section right behind the hoop. It's always a fun environment to play in. And it was also a lot of fun, beating them as well as often as we did. So as long as we can keep that going, I think everybody will be feeling good about it. And I think it's good that UGA kind of has the rights to the basketball realm of stuff. We just need to transition it over to football now.
Yeah, I mean we've got the Capital One Cup locked down. We're
Yeah, we
killing
got
it in
everything. We got
some of
basically everything else booked. We just need to shut them up with some
the
football wins.
We need to get some football to add there because that was what brings in the big bucks. But I was sitting there with Notre Dame fans, friends of mine at the game, and just going, man, this is a lot of national championships to applaud. Gosh, after the third one, I know you weren't there, Joe, but every quarter break they brought out one of the
Man,
national champions from
oh
last
my
year,
gosh. See,
and we just
that's
had to keep
crazy, man.
standing up.
Isn't that
So hopefully the
unbelievable,
basketball
though?
team will get there. Oh yeah, I
Yeah,
mean, what a
man.
year. What an unbelievable year.
Man, how exciting would that be? It'd be unreal.
Yeah, we'll get Tony and company out there one of these days, I'm sure. Hopefully next year. I like what you have to say about London, even though he's been awesome, one of the best point guards. There's still always room for improvement, and
Yep,
hopefully
definitely.
he's going to be even better. Well,
Oh yeah,
cool.
no
One more
question.
time before you go, I'm sorry to cut you off there, but why don't I rehash it? Make sure if you're listening to this to go to givenaked.org, right on the homepage. Give 105 Joe Harris a give for fire relief is right there. And Joe, thanks again so much for joining us. It's great to hear some stories. If you got any parting words, I'll give the floor to you.
Hey, yeah, thanks again for just having me on and helping me raise some awareness for the givenaked.org. Again, yeah, any donation helps, and $5, $5, whatever it might be, it goes a long way and more than you realize. So thanks again, and then wahoo wah, man. Thanks for having me on. I bleed orange and blue, and I'll be tuning into the football games the rest of the season. I'll be watching as many basketball games as I can too.
All right. Well, thanks again, Joe. Wahoo Wah is a great place to end it. So, for Streaking the Line, I'm Pierce, and for Matt and Brian, we'll just end with Go Hoos.